Psalm 105 is where we want to turn for the message this evening. Psalm 105, verse 43. So the end of the chapter, the last three verses, Psalm 105, verse 43. This psalm begins by saying, "O give thanks unto the Lord." Verse 2 says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him." By the way, that's another scripture song right there. "Glory in his holy name," verse 3. It mentions then as we go along in verse number 9, it talks about the covenant made with Abraham and the oath made to Isaac. It talks about the time that that God sent Joseph ahead of the people of Israel, and how Israel in verse 23 came into Egypt, and then how God brought them out of Egypt. He supplied for them in the wilderness. That's the context. It's basically a psalm that is telling the story of the nation of Israel, from long ago with Abraham all the way through to the present day when the psalm was written. How did God provide? And I want you to notice how the psalm ends. It says in verse 43, "And he," God, "brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people." Now think about that for just a minute. He gave them the lands of the heathen. When they walked into the promised land, there were giants in the land, weren't there? But God gave them the victory over those giants, and they kicked the giants out and the other Canaanites and killed the inhabitants of the land. And as they walked in, they didn't walk into a barren land. They walked into a land where there were cities that were great and walled. There were houses. There were vineyards already planted. There were fields that had been cleared of debris and had been sown and were bearing crops, etc., etc. And the children of Israel walked into the promised land, and yes, they had to fight battles, but once the battles were done, all of that great land was theirs. That's basically what that's saying. Verse 44 again, "And gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people," verse 45, "that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord." As this chapter comes to a close, the psalmist here is writing about all the wonderful works that God had done, how he had made a covenant with Abraham and fulfilled that covenant by taking them into Egypt, just like he had told Abraham he would do, and how they had to serve the Egyptians for about 400 years or so. And then as God brought them out under the hand of Moses, that God led them with his wisdom in the wilderness and provided for them, and He healed them and gave them all of their needs and miraculously preserved them from the Egyptians who wanted to kill them. And that then as he brought them into the promised land, he gave them great blessings. And then he ends this psalm with telling the reason why he blessed them so much. Why was it that God did all of this for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, on through Joseph, on through Moses and Joshua? Why did God do all of that for them? And the answer is found in the last verse of this psalm, where it says that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. The title of the message this evening is, "Why has God blessed us?" It's a great question. Why has God blessed us? And I believe we can find the answer of why we have so many blessings. And we gave testimony, didn't we? Brother Chuck gave testimony of just basically, God's goodness is overabundant. It's like it's pressed down and running over, just like God said it would be. Okay, why has God been so good to us? Brother Tony gave testimony of God sparing his life, and what a blessing. We're all glad about that. And he alluded to this fact. Why did God spare him? Well, there's a reason, isn't there? And you can put yourself in there and the blessings that you have. Why has God done this? Well, the answer is found in the end of this psalm, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me the great privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach your word. And I thank you, Lord, that this last week you reminded me or showed me of these verses here and applied it to my life. Lord, I believe you've talked to me and told me that I'm to share it with your people and have you apply it to their lives as well. And Lord, I ask that you would. Lord, I ask that everyone here would be overcome with the truth that there is a reason why they have been blessed. And it's not probably what they think. That, Lord, they have a job to do, a responsibility to fulfill. Lord, I pray that you would allow that truth to sink into the heart of the oldest one among us. And Lord, all the way down to the youngest among us. Lord, and everyone in between, would you please allow that truth to sink into our hearts, to those who have been blessed in just great ways that they can think of right away, and those who maybe struggle to think of a blessing. But Lord, would you help it to be true for all of us that we would be convinced of our need to live for you because you've blessed us. I ask that your hand would be on this message for your honor and glory. Exalt your own name and humble me, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, I just want to give you 4 points, and each of them is a question. And the first question is this: what blessings do we have? Boy, we could go on and on, couldn't we? I imagine that if I didn't end the testimony time, it would go on for a long time. That's a good thing, by the way. But what blessings do we have? I listed just 6 of them on my piece of paper as I was meditating through these things and thinking through these things. What are the blessings we have? The number one thing we have to be thankful for and ought to count as a blessing is our salvation. And I know in our group, as independent fundamental Baptists, we can very easily just get into a rut, basically, where we say, okay, yeah, our salvation. But think about the truth of our salvation just for a moment. Last week, we talked about it a little bit. This morning, we talked about it a little bit. Think about the truth of what the Word of God teaches us, as I mentioned this morning, about God being just and all that that means. The fact that God cannot just let sin go. That's why Romans 3, as it talks about the righteousness that we find in Christ, says that basically God provided Christ so that he could be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. It's an amazing salvation that we have, that a just and holy God is letting you into heaven. That's an amazing truth. I had the privilege this last week to talk to a Muslim man who is very, very kind down on State Street. Very kind. Gracious. He was sitting in a chair. As I walked by, I handed him a tract. He took it, and I could tell he was kind of curious about it, wasn't familiar with what it was, and I just had an opportunity to just kind of catch him in conversation. And I had a little bit of a hard time getting the gospel in, but I was able to get little bits in. He liked to talk, and that's all right. I wanted to start a relationship with him. I'm hoping even later on in the future to be able to have more of a relationship with him, kind of like Brother Mauricio talked about, where we can kind of hopefully get in there and share the gospel with him in a great way. But one of the things that I mentioned to him is, because he made the statement that I've heard before, you've probably heard before, and that is that, well, Islam and Christianity, we're really worshiping the same God. There's not that much of a difference. And the thing I tried to slip in there with him is, no, listen, there is a difference. And here's the big difference. The big difference is that Islam and so many other religions, even the ones who call themselves Christian, have a God who will let people into heaven even though their sins have not been taken care of. But the God of the Bible is a just God that will not let any sin go. And when you think about it, that's really the difference. Because Catholicism, Islam, so many other false religions teach this idea that if I can just be good enough, my goodness will overcome my badness and God will let me into heaven. If that's the God you worship, you have an unjust God. The God of the Bible is a just God who's not going to let anyone in heaven without them being completely and totally justified, made perfect, righteous and holy. And I'm thankful that I'm getting in heaven as a holy man of God. And it's all because of Jesus. He is my justifier. I have a lot to be thankful for. That's a great blessing, isn't it? That's a great blessing that God looks down at little Mikey Weiss and says, he is a saint, holy, deserving of heaven. He sees in me the righteousness of Christ. That's a great salvation. That's a great blessing, isn't it? We go on about that. I just think also about the great blessing that we have in having a church. And friends, I could go on about that for a time, and I won't go on for a long time about it, but I just want you to meditate and think on what a blessing it is to be a part of a good church. I want you to understand that around the world today, what we have here is a rare thing. That even within the United States and even somewhat within the state of Wisconsin, what we have here is a rare thing. I think about a family member of mine who lives not too awful far from here, yet it's quite far enough that they're not able to come to this church. And there's a church in their area, but it's not a church that they are very excited about or you and I would be excited about. It's there, and yes, is the gospel preached? Yes. But friends, it's not a church that is with any growth or thriving or camaraderie among the church family. There's not any life there, in my opinion. And listen, friends, what we have is a blessing. Can I say this? It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. And let me say that again, and I want you to understand that. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God and His goodness giving us a church. And tomorrow, by the way, He could take it away. We've seen that happen. I talked to a man at camp the first week, and he's a pastor in Michigan, and I talked to him, and I said, hey, what's your story? And he knew of my family, he knew of Pastor Fred and all of that, and I kind of asked him about that, and he said, yeah, I met your brother because your brother used to preach at such and such a church in another state, and I met him there. And the church that he mentioned in another state was one where 15 years ago that church was growing and going and thriving and having conferences and all of that. And all of a sudden, listen, there came along some dissension, the church split, and it does not exist anymore. And 15 years ago, it was the source of a lot of blessing to a lot of people. This is a blessing that God has given us. Friends, can I say, listen, that we got to watch it. We got to guard it. We got to be careful. We got to pray about it. Can I make a side note here and just say, in this whole Constitution thing that we're working on and the things that we're working on there, let's guard that carefully. Let's pray over that carefully. Let's make sure that we don't allow any kind of dissension to sneak in. And I haven't sensed that it is. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying, let's be careful. That's one of those areas when you open up that, sometimes you're opening up a situation where Satan can get his ugly face in there and get any of us worked up about something to where it causes dissension. Let's guard against that. Let's remember what Ephesians 4 tells us about being kind to one another, forgiving one another, tender-hearted, all of that. Remember what James says about the need for us to remember that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, etc. Let's remember in all these things that what God has given us is a great blessing. And let's keep it and guard it. There's a third area where I thought of God's many blessings to us, and that's the area of family. Each one has a different set of family and source of family, and your family looks a little bit different than mine. And listen, I've been in different situations. I, as you know, had the privilege to be, I'm the last one of nine. So part of a big family. What a great blessing that is, and I enjoy that. But I've also had, because of the situation, the family dynamics that happened in my family, I had the opportunity to also basically grow up for part of my life as an only child. I had the opportunity to grow up in a family where mom and dad were there. I had the opportunity to grow up in a time in my family where it was a split family and I was just with one parent. And I can tell you this, that I've seen now as God has brought my life personally for Mike to the point now where He's given me a wife and given me children, I can say, boy, what a blessing that is to have that. A family is a blessing. And again, you may not be in that situation where you have a spouse or you have children, but whatever it is that God has put you in with the family that you have, what a blessing that is. And that's something that God has given you as an encouragement. Can you imagine what it would be like if God made it to where all of us, this might sound a little bit funny, and human beings in general, what if we live like animals and we were just all solitary? You know, mother gave birth and then weaned the child and then sent it off and we just live solitary. Isn't it a blessing that God didn't design the human being that way? That we get together in families and we always have that for life. What a blessing that is. We talk about the freedom that we have in our nation. That's the fourth blessing that I've thought of. God has given us great freedom in our land. It's an amazing thing what God has given us here in the United States of America. Something that we have a tendency to forget is that this time in history, when we live in a constitutional republic, when we vote in our representatives who make decisions for us and make laws and enforce those laws, when we have a voice in society and when we have a great amount of freedom, do you realize that this is an anomaly throughout human history? If you study history, this is not the norm. This is a very unusual time. By the way, it feels like it's coming to a close, doesn't it? There's a reason it feels like it's coming to a close, because Western society has kicked God out and we're paying the consequences. We're paying the price for that kicking of God out. But listen, we still have freedom, and that is a great blessing. We talk about our health, and some have more health than others. But what health you do have is a blessing from God. You, those of you who are young, let me talk specifically to the young adults and the teenagers. If you are given health, I want you to understand that is not a guarantee for all of your life. If you have health, that is not a guarantee for all of your life. Let me say that even young adults get diseases. Even young adults get maladies and deformities and things that happen. And tomorrow your life could change. God has blessed you with health right now. We again go all through. Some of you are older than I am by a few years, and yet you still have good health. That is a blessing. You might look at yourself and say, Pastor, I don't have good health at all. If you're here, you have a decent amount of health. And we all have health to one extent or another. We could talk about this. Here's another one that you'll maybe disagree with me on, but that's okay. I'm preaching, you're not. And that is wealth. We have been given wealth. And I know we talk about that from time to time. We are a wealthy people. Okay? Last time I checked, all of us had enough food and then some. Right? We had a place to stay. We have clothes for our back. And by the way, more than just one set of clothes. And can I say again, that's an anomaly throughout human history, isn't it? Where we would go to our closet and each of the wives here probably said this morning, I have nothing to wear. The closet is overflowing. When she opens the door, stuff falls out on top of her. And buried underneath the pile of clothes, she mumbles through the clothes to her husband, there's nothing here for me to wear. That is American womanhood, isn't it, right? But men, we can say the same thing about ourselves. I open my closet, and I'm not a shoe person by any means, but I open my closet, and you know what I have? I have several pairs of shoes. That's an unusual thing in human history. We're blessed. We have wealth. Why did God give us these blessings? All of these things, salvation, church, family, freedom, health, wealth, we could list many more. Why did God give us those? Let me get to the second question tonight. I want to move along with these quickly. What did we do to inherit these blessings? The children of Israel in Psalm 105, verse 44, God said, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. Was it their labor that gave them the vineyard? No, they inherited the labor. Was it their labor that built the houses or the walls around the cities? No, it was the labor of the Canaanites, and God gave it to them. Was it their labor that built the roads, etc.? No, it was the labor of the Canaanites, and God gave them. They inherited the labor of the people. What did you do to get wealth? What did you do to get health and salvation and family and all the different things, freedom that we have? And the answer is nothing. We did not do anything. And I realize you may have worked hard to get some of the wealth that you have. You may have been careful with your body to make sure that you have health, and that's good. But even that is not a guarantee. There have been many people throughout history who have worked hard and have never become wealthy. There have many people who have watched their health carefully and yet have died of a heart condition that was an anomaly in their health, and they just dropped dead. And yet God has given you these things. You have done nothing to inherit those blessings, which leads me to the third question. Why did God give us these blessings? Why did God give us these blessings? Let me say, first of all, that God did not bless us just to put a smile on our face. God did not bless you just because He likes to see a smile on your face. Now, does God like to see a smile on your face? I would venture to say yes. I'm speaking from a human perspective. I'm trying not to put words in God's mouth. But just knowing the God of the Bible, I do believe that He is pleased to bless His children. And He loves to see us smile. But if we think that He blessed us just to put a smile on our face, we are wrong. That's not the only reason that he did it. In fact, the Bible tells us here in Psalm 105 that the reason God blessed the children of Israel is so that they could obey his laws. Can you and I learn from that? I think we should. Why did God bless us? He blessed us that we might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Why did God give you a good church? So that you could keep his statutes and his laws. Why did God give you health? So that you could live for him. Why did God give you wealth? So you could use that for his honor and glory. Why did God give you salvation, etc., etc.? So that you could live for God. He blessed us that we might observe his statutes and keep his laws. And when we think that the blessings are just for us, listen, it shows immaturity and self-love. It shows immaturity and self-love. When we think that God gave me all this just so I could smile and that's it. That is a very childish way for us to look at things. We are like a little child who just thinks, and some of you are parents of little children, you understand, you love them and you care for them, but their mindset has to be trained out of the natural way of thinking, which is just that basically everything is owed to me. And you have to train that out of them to help them understand, no, actually, you've been given blessings so that you can be a blessing to others. And yet sometimes as Christians, we're just like little children. So let me close tonight with the fourth and final question. What are his statutes and his laws that he wants us to obey? If he saved us and gave us freedom and health and all these things for us to obey his laws, what are those laws? I'm not going to list all of them. That would be a long message. But I do want to give you a couple, and they're going to kind of sum up much of his laws and his statutes. And the first one is this. He gave us these blessings that we might obey his statute to be holy. To be holy. God has blessed you so that you would live holy for him. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1. Verse 15. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, notice, it's said there a couple times, as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, that means in every aspect of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I want you to think about that. Remember Ephesians 4. We are given great blessings in that we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That means the name that is placed upon you, walk worthy of that. And I want you to think of what a tragedy, what a disaster it is when we as Christians walk through the mud and the muck of this world. I think about a family member of mine who many years ago, it's a young adult that grew up in a family that's related to me and grew up in a Christian home, and I went to a gas station, and just so happened that that individual was working at that gas station, and that individual was behind the corner. And listen, the way that that individual looked, tattoos everywhere, rings everywhere, the type of earrings where it stretches out the lobe of your ear. I could tell it was a family member. I could see the resemblance. That individual is related to me. And I know how they grew up. I know their family. They carry my last name. The grief that it brought to my heart that that individual who's living that type of life and carries my name, that was a grief to me. But listen, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Who cares what I think? What about when I who carry the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One. Just like we learned this morning, He is the Holy One, and yet I carry His name. What if I walk through this world and indulge in the things of this world? What kind of a grief do you think that is to His heart and a mockery to Him? He didn't save me just so I could walk in this world and live like the rest of the world. I was with another individual who had grown up in a church, listen, a church just like this one. And the person was able to tell me about how they had, again, grown up in a church just like this one that had a Christian school. And this individual went to a Christian school just like the one we had here. And this individual now is an adult, many years past going to church, has not been to church in who knows how long. And this individual, I met not only this person, but their child. And their child was dressed, it was a young lady was the child. And the child was maybe 14 years old. And listen, 14-year-old girl, and I had to turn my eyes from her. That's how badly she was dressed. As a normal American male, if I did not turn my eyes, my thoughts would not be right toward a 14-year-old girl, and I don't want that to happen. So I had to turn my eyes and on purpose not look unless I absolutely had to, and when I had to, it was look her in her eyes. And this is the daughter of an individual who grew up like we grew up here in a church very similar, who claims to be saved. And I thought to myself, what a shame that someone who names the name of Christ, listen, is raising their child to live and look and act just like the world and be the source of perverted old men's weird thoughts. And I thought, if that grieves me, how must that grieve my Heavenly Father? Now, wait a minute, it's easy for me to pick on them, but wait a minute, what am I guilty of that's the same way? It's easy for me to pick on that very obvious and glaring lack of holiness, but what about in my life, the little areas, little in my sight, that are a lack of holiness? What about movies that I watch where it's ungodly things going on? What about it if it's, you know, things that are going on in the around the world, maybe where I don't turn my eyes when I should and I allow myself to be involved in something like that that's not quite right? Think about how that grieves the Lord when He has saved me and given me all these blessings so that I would live for Him, so that I would be a holy people dedicated unto Him. And I don't live that way. What a shame. He saved me not just to put a smile on my face. He saved me so that I would live holy. He gave me a family, gave me a church, gave me freedom, gave me wealth and health so that I would live holy. He did the same for you. There's another of His commandments, His statutes, His laws that we are to live, and that is found in John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, verse 10. John 15, verse 10. I'll give you this one more, and then we'll be done. John 15 and verse 10. John 15, verse 10. Jesus is speaking here, the last night of His earthly ministry. He says, "If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." And then verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That is a commandment of God. And we have been saved, we've been given church, family, freedom, health, wealth, all the blessings that we have. We go on and on for this reason, so that you and I would obey His commandments, and that includes that we would love one another. And loving one another, please catch this, does not mean a fuzzy feeling. Oftentimes, a fuzzy feeling comes along when I choose to love somebody, the fuzzy feeling follows, but not always. But I can still love someone without that fuzzy feeling. I can still love someone by choice to lay down my life for them, to not do what I want, to not give what I want, to not demand my rights, but rather to care for their needs just like Jesus did for me. And he saved me and gave me all these blessings that I could love you. And he gave you these blessings that you could love me. And we could love each other and others around us. That's why we've been given blessings. And I want you to remember that and keep that in your mind. We have a great church here. This is just one example. We have a great church, and we talked about that. Why did God give us a great church? Is it just so we can come in, sit down, enjoy ourselves, listen to the choir sing beautiful songs, and next week, Lord willing, we'll have an instrumental special, and I heard the practice before the service, and it sounds great. Boy, it's a blessing to be a part of a church with all these musicians. Did God give us a church just so that we could sit down, enjoy the musicians, and go, man, it's great to have a great church, and then go home? No. He gave us this church so that we could love one another. The truth of the matter is the music, the enjoyment of the facilities and all those things, those are just icing on the cake. Those are frivolous things. The truth of the matter is if all of the music left tomorrow, we'd still have a church. If the building were gone tomorrow, we'd still have a church. If all these other frivolous things, if the camp were gone tomorrow, we'd still have a church and we'd still have a commandment of the Lord that we are to love one another. And we've been given these blessings because God wants us to keep his commands, and that includes that I would love you, that we love, that you would love me, and all around. And that leads me to the third one, and that's found in John chapter 20. And we could list more, but these are the three that the Lord laid on my heart. John 20 and verse 20. Why has God blessed us? John 20, verse 20. This is Jesus. After his resurrection, he's about to ascend. And in John 20, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Notice verse 21 here. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Friends, God has given us all of these blessings so that we would obey his command to be a gospel witness around the world. Jesus said it here in John this way, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. In Mark, it says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew, it says, go ye and make disciples, basically, is the wording of it in Matthew, right? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, etc. In each of those cases, we are reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ gave us a command to be a gospel witness. Why has he blessed me so much? Well, he wants me to tell others about Jesus. And I want to remind you and remind all of us tonight that it is our responsibility. It is part of the command that God has given us to be a gospel witness. And God in his word does not lay out a specific way you have to be a gospel witness in this way. There is no form or fashion, but he does tell us that it is our job to get the gospel to the world. And I just want to say this. Number one, we should be doing that in our surrounding areas where we live. We should be doing it in the area of our community here, where our church is. In other words, within the city. We should be doing it in our county and that. We should be doing it in our country. But listen, we should also be worried and concerned about getting the gospel around the world. And it may be that God wants some of you to go around the world. And I tell you that I've noticed something. I've shared this with you before. I've noticed it. Even recently, since I've told you the last time, missionaries are coming off the field in droves. Missionaries are leaving the field and coming back to the United States like crazy. And I don't know why that is. It might be that God is preparing a harvest here. That is very possible. But it concerns me. It concerns me that, and I don't know, I'm not the judge. You're not the judge, I'm not the judge, God is. But it concerns me, could it be that in America we're losing our fire within our local churches to get the gospel to the world? I'm not meeting the missionaries I used to. I'm not hearing missionaries calling and saying, I'm on deputation, I'm starting deputation, I'm looking to get to the field. I'm not hearing that as much. And I'm wondering, why is that? Is it because we've lost our understanding of the fact that God has given me these blessings because he has given me a task to get the gospel out to the world? We have a responsibility with these great blessings, that God has given us these blessings that we would obey His commandments. Let me encourage you to do just that. Let's go ahead and pray.